Well, Jules, this game was actually not televised. It was only on the radio. Probably, I think, a blessing in disguise for Blue Jays fans who were irate that it wasn't on TV, because it was a very quiet offensive night for the team. While on the opposite side of things, Ryan Mountcastle did the thing. Not one, but two home runs for Mountcastle tonight, four RBI overall for him. So he's starting his Blue Jays grudge early this year in the spring. But an 8-2 loss in the spring for the Jays in Sarasota. Bo Bichette providing one of the few offensive sparks, a solo home run, one of four hits the team had all evening long.
Not a great show. And no. As you started your intro, I thought to myself, yep, probably for the best. It was definitely one of those spring training specials where you didn't really know what you were going into. And then it just turned into a barn burner pretty early. The Orioles and the Blue Jays as well, fielding most of their regulars, most of the guys that we were expecting to see on that 26-man roster once opening day arrives. And just very clearly all things going Orioles on this one show.
That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Show Ali. You're listening to Jays Talk live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also on Sportsnet.ca and the Sportsnet app. If you want, you can text us 590-590, name and location. That is the people's text line. It is always open. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. One thing I wanted to follow up with you on today, Jules, was on the 9th, which was not this past weekend, but the weekend prior, when we did our first set of Jays Talks for spring training.
Right.
You and I talked about the roster battles. And again, there wasn't a lot from this game. We can get into a couple things, largely Bo, maybe Ryan Mountcastle, maybe Ryan Yarbrough certainly as well. But for the most part, you know, not a lot from today's game. But I did want to have that revisiting of the roster battle conversation for you, with you, to see if anything has changed for you. But before we do that, and again, 590-590, name and location, that's where you can text us. We'll sprinkle in your text, whether it is about this game or players you think should be on the roster towards, now that we are towards the end of spring training, right? Only a handful more games right up until Sunday is when the spring will be over. But again, from this game, yeah, the Jays offense, Cade Povich didn't allow a single hit to a mostly major league Jays lineup. Good of Bo Bichette to come in on the first pitch thrown by someone not named Cade Povich in this game, and he smashes a home run off of reliever Brian Baker. So again, even if it didn't come off Povich, nice to see that Bo is staying ready. I think he is going to be the team's opening day leadoff hitter. Like less than 10 days away, right? I mean, I personally prefer Bo batting second, but yeah, I guess you're okay with Bo batting leadoff.
Yeah, I think so, Joe. I don't think that, you know, on a nightly basis or on a regular basis, that would be something worth entertaining. But I definitely believe that if the Blue Jays want to have a few more looks at him in the leadoff spot, I'm not necessarily going to begrudge them for that, just because this is someone who, you know, can provide your offense with that instant spark. We saw that today in that, I believe it was the sixth inning, right? It was obviously just a moonshot, first of all, straight up power, because it was straight into the batter's eye, and first pitch he saw. So it's clear that he is seeing the ball extremely well, and he does sort of understand what his role is right now and what it is that he has to look for. Mm-hmm. So the swing decisions have been very, very good throughout the spring, not just today. If he can control a little bit more of the zone, and if he can continue those good swing decisions into the regular season, then I really don't mind seeing Bichette as the leadoff hitter. Such a different look for him, right? Based on what we have, I guess, gotten accustomed to seeing. But let's not forget that this is also an extremely important year for Bo, if not just as important as Vlad's year. It might be more important, actually, when you think about the fact that Bo missed most of last season due to injuries. And so he is motivated beyond what he is trying to accomplish with the Blue Jays, obviously, or this year specifically. And that's going to transpire in his game as well, Show. The leadoff spot, not necessarily the first name that you would think of would be Bo Bichette, but he's showing that he can do it. It's just about locking in and making those good swing decisions.
There hasn't been another batter outside of Bo, and I mean, I'm not counting Vladdy or Santander, obviously, but outside of those guys, there haven't been another guy who, for me, has really stood out to the point where you'd say, like, yeah, that guy is the slam dunk leadoff hitter option over Bo Bichette. I mean, guys have hit all right in this spring so far, where I could see it happening. Like, I could see Jimenez being the guy up there. I could see Will Wagner if they really wanted to, right? Depending on the opposing pitcher, right-handed, left-handedness there. I could see Ernie Clement doing it, honestly. I actually wanted to get to that with you. And Ernie Clement did obviously play in this game. I think he had one of the Blue Jays' four hits. But Clement is interesting because I've seen a lot of people, and we've gotten this text before, and I haven't really had a chance to discuss this with someone, but 590-590 name and location, by the way, is where you can reach us on the text line. But people saying, well, maybe Ernie Clement should be the leadoff hitter for the Blue Jays. I like Ernie's what he does, you know, in the 7-8-9 range thereabouts. But I think if you believe Ernie is one of those guys who, you know, puts the bat on the ball really well and he sees it really well, and if he's not hitting for power, he's getting on base a lot. Like, that is kind of the guy you want in front of guys who are hitting 2-3-4 to who are, you know, ostensibly scoring most of your team's runs. But right. I'm curious what you think of the whole Ernie Clement for leadoff candidacy here.
Yeah, it was also pretty fascinating to hear Chris and Ben during the broadcast talk about that a little bit.
What do they know? No, I'm kidding.
But I do sort of want to echo what Ben said, the points that he made, which is, yes, you know, Clement is a guy who, when he's going, he is getting on base a lot, but you are not going to necessarily get, for example, a ton of walks from him, right? He tends to be kind of a free swinger, and it works for him because he's so good at making contact, and sometimes it's pretty unbelievable what he's making contact with. It just defies sort of what a major league batter could do, or even a human being could do. But you're not necessarily going to get that same strike zone control. You're not necessarily going to get that same lengthy at bat and things along those lines that the Blue Jays have come to value in their leadoff hitter. I would say that a guy, even a Bo Bichette, even a guy like Will Wagner fits that mold a little bit better. Andrés Giménez, to me, is one of the big candidates here if he can get his offense more or less in order. But Clement should be in that discussion. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be, and he probably is. When the Blue Jays are having these conversations behind closed doors, it's just based on the other alternatives that this team has, he's just not necessarily the first name that comes to mind because of his profile as a hitter.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I think what you said in terms of him being in the conversation alongside Andrés Giménez and Wagner and obviously Bo himself, I think you're right in that as long as they're not locking themselves into one guy, Jules, I think I'm honestly fine with any solution being at least tried, right? If Bo ends up being the leadoff hitter next Thursday, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be the leadoff hitter for the entire season, right? I mean, and Schneider said this both to the media and to Blair, but, you know, there are times where Bo might be the cleanup batter and Will Wagner or Giménez or Clement or someone else, maybe George Springer. I'm sure Springer is a part of that conversation too, right?
Maybe Alan Roden eventually.
Like, there are a lot of options. And I just, as long as they're not locking themselves into, it's going to be Springer day one through day 50. Like, yeah. I think it's fine, truly. Which I know is not a very hot take for doing these kinds of shows. I mean, you want to be a little more hot takey, but I just think the Blue Jays were so, they kept him in there, him being Springer, to their detriment at points last year. And I think based on what we've at least seen during the spring, and I know results don't really matter in the spring, but for spurts here during the spring, I'm not sure I've seen enough from Springer where I'd say, yeah, I want him batting leadoff, if that makes sense.
It does. And the Blue Jays are trying to veer away from those strict rules and those set roles that have obviously given them some trouble, especially last season. I would say that right now we can look at number two, number three in that lineup and be pretty secure in the fact that it's going to be Vladdy and Anthony Santander, but that's also up for debate, at least if the Blue Jays stay true to the new philosophy they're trying to bring into the picture here. And so This is what it's all about. This is, first of all, the time to try new things and see how guys do in that position. And, if Clement gets to bat leadoff from here until the end of the spring, let's not be surprised either, because this is the time to try. But we sort of saw the strictness play very much against the Blue Jays, to your point, Show, last year. And so expect them to be more in flux this season, and that is, that starts with Bo Bichette's name at the top. Not something we're used to seeing, but someone that the Blue Jays obviously trust can fill that role and do it in a prolific and dynamic way for them.
And you talk about, you know, guys, whoever it is, but guys at or near the top of a batting order, typically by the end of a game, for the most part, by the end of a season, they will get more plate appearances than someone else, just because how it works numbers wise. And I mean, if there ever was one guy I would rather have more plate appearances than pretty much any other Blue Jay, even the guy's Bo Bichette. So I think I'm fine with it. On the pitching side of tonight, again, not a lot to get to here. Eric Lauer, I think, is at best major league depth, right? I mean, yeah. In the case like of Max Scherzer not being ready, and they don't want to make Yariel Rodriguez, okay, they don't want to do a Yariel Rodriguez, Ryan Yarbrough piggyback start to start the season. Maybe you could see a Lauer spot start here or there. You know, I think that's probably best case scenario for him. And I mean, hey, you could have a Y-Rod Yarbrough piggyback if you really wanted to. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone would really complain. They are two long men. But I think Yarbrough is the guy I wanted to get to with you because of all the other pitchers in this game, he was the guy who is pretty likely to be in the team. Ben, again, during the broadcast, when he was talking to Chris, they both said this, and Ben knows more than we do. He's around the team a lot more, especially in the spring. And he said that it seems pretty likely that Yarbrough will be in the bullpen to start the season. So there you go. I mean, they could clear up a 40, or they have to clear up a 40-man spot for him. I think some moves that could still happen and some moves that have not yet, or pardon me, that did take place already since we last did this whole roster discussion. Reliever Dylan Tate was signed. Angel, or his name might be pronounced Angel, but Bastardo was put on the 60-day IL to make room for Tate. And a couple days ago, Richard Lovelady was added to the 40-man roster, and Alec Manoa was moved to the 60-day. So those two guys on the 60-day IL to free up spots. Adam Macko can still be called up and also put on the 60-day IL, just if you wanted to finagle some moves there. Or you could just DFA someone, right? You could trade someone, DFA someone, which I'm sure is going to happen because the truth is it happens every year for every team. But Yarbrough, I think, seems pretty likely, I would say, Jules, to make the roster. It's unfortunate because 1 1/3, 4 hits, 2 runs, both of which were earned, a walk, a strikeout. He faced 9 batters in his outing. Didn't have the greatest game, I would say.
Yeah, against, not the cleanest, for sure.
Yeah, against a team or a lineup in the Orioles that's pretty close to major league ready. But I still think he's getting on this roster, though.
I think so, too. And imagine this, right, Cho? When you have a Yariel Rodriguez, Ryan Yarbrough piggyback start, let's say that you give them each 3 innings or whatever it may be, that is such a different type of pitcher, such a different look for batters that – to me, it's just intriguing. If you're an opposing manager here, what do you even do, right? To sort of game plan when you know that you're facing a flame throwing right hander at first, and then you're getting Ryan Yarbrough, who's a lefty and who throws not very hard, and so it's such a different look that even that could open up some opportunities and possibilities for the Blue Jays. The hope, obviously, Show, is that Scherzer is ready and fine to pitch at least in the fifth game of the season here, but you never know. You never know how the thumb injury or how the thumb ache rather connects to injuries that he's had in the past. Nerve issues are weird. They pop up in different ways. And so, and that is why you hear that level of caution, not just from the player, but from the team. They are going to be extremely careful here when they figure out what to do with that number five spot to start out the season. But yeah, Yarbrough becomes pretty crucial when you think about that, and when you think about the fact that Scherzer may not be ready to start the season with the Blue Jays. And so far, I believe, Show, that he has done enough. I don't know if you would...
Yarbrough?
Yeah. I don't know if you'd agree with that, you know, categorically, but I do believe that he has earned a spot, not just on the 40-man, but on the opening day roster, because of the durability, because of the fact that he comes with several seasons of major league experience, and he has filled this role in the past. He's done pretty much whatever it is that he's asked to do. So it seems like such a good option for the Blue Jays to have when they are trying to figure out what it is that they have in terms of depth, and what it is that they are going to see from Max Scherzer from now until the season starts.
The Scherzer part of this all really interests me because of the thumb, and in his conversation with a variety of writers, I was actually listening to the conversation because we got the audio of it, and I was going to play it for everyone, but it was ultra windy when they were talking to him, so you could like barely hear what he's saying. So it's one of those things where like if you listen to it, it'd be fine. If I played it on the radio, it'd sound terrible. But I was listening to it, and like much like Keegan and Hazel and David Singh and all of our colleagues were saying, he was saying that it's not a huge issue until he hits that 50 pitch plateau, and then it does start to become an issue. I mean, they are thinking about the whole aspect of what he talked about, the thumb being connected to your elbow and to your arm, and how if you do pitch with injuries like that, it can cause issues for you down the road. And I mean, a part of this is just he's old, right? That's just a part of
right.
it. And maybe this wouldn't have happened when he was 28, for example, but does now. And I mean, not doesn't necessarily mean he's breaking down by any means, but I think it does mean that you got to be a little more careful. I do wonder, honestly, if he doesn't make the first turn through the rotation at this point, because, you know, the season starts in less than 10 days. If you were to put him as the fifth starter, you'd get essentially 2 weeks from now, right? You'd, like, if you just extend that a couple more days. But if you're being really careful, you know, do you want to take that chance? Do you want to give it like an extra maybe two series, like, or two turns, let's say, through the rotation, including some off days? I'm not sure, but I'm a little less bullish on Scherzer making his very first start. I think I do generally think it'll be all right, because it's not like throughout his starts in the spring he looked bad, right? Like, the command was there, the velo was there, you know what I mean? If all of those things had not been there and then we had this news, I think I'd be like, all right, like, what are we doing here, right? But it's this injury clearly cropped up, so maybe he misses the first two, but the question as to who replaces him, if that is the case, is I still think up in the air.
Very much up in the air. And you brought up a good point, Sho. We saw so many good things, so many Max Scherzer-esque things from Max Scherzer before this injury popped up, or this potential injury popped up, that it has to leave a little bit of a bitter taste in everyone's mouth, especially him, because he looked so good. When he made those starts with the Blue Jays early on in spring training. So definitely unfortunate, but if I'm not mistaken, we got a few reports from earlier today saying that, you know, that it's not bad news. Mm-hmm. He maybe feels even a little bit better than he expected to after throwing in a minor league game. So no one is sounding any alarms yet, but you have to be prepared. And that is where an Eric Lauer or Ryan Yarbrough really, really, you know, come into play for a team like the Blue Jays right now.
That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to Jays Talk here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. You know, Jules, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's run through the roster, the 26-man roster as it stands now. And we can compare our notes from the last time we did this exercise and see maybe where things stand based on the last week and a half of spring training. Only a couple more games to go. There's no game tomorrow, which is a Wednesday. Games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then that's it. Spring training is over. So only a handful more games for us to really do this. We got one more Jays Talk on Sunday, so I guess we can see if things have really coalesced by Sunday. But let's do that exercise on the other side. And we have some text to get to as well at 590-590, name and location. So lots for us to come here on Jays Talk. You're listening to it. That's Julia. I'm Sho on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho and Julia here with you for another 10-15 minutes or so. You can shoot us a text, 590-590, name and location. The Blue Jays losing 8-2 to the Orioles. Not that it really matters all that much in the spring, wins and losses. I suppose it matters if you're really keen on seeing if the golden grapefruit is real. I still am not 100% sure if it is real or not. I should ask Ben, honestly. I should just shoot him a text, be like, can you go take a picture? Is it somewhere? Can you go find out if this is real? But maybe Keegan will know. I don't know. We got to find out before Sunday wraps up Grapefruit League action. But why don't we do our roster discussion, Jules?
Sure thing.
I didn't write down who you had picked for your last two pitchers the last time out. So you're going to have to fill me in when we get to the pitchers.
Yeah. Well, you know me. I'm very extremely messy with everything that I do, but I'm sure that if I go back on my notes,
okay,
you can probably find
it. I wrote down who you had for your batters, and I'm glad I made the note for it, but I just didn't do it for the pitchers, so so hopefully you remember. But why don't we do the batters first?
Okay, sure.
So again, it's like you're kind of splitting it down the middle for a 26-man active roster, 13 and 13. Mm-hmm. So the 13 batters you had last time, so Vladdy, Jimenez, Bo, Clement, Kirk, I think we both agree that Heinemann right now at least was in the driver's seat for the backup catcher position, although that, you know, matters a little bit less, I would say, these days. But still, Heinemann or Bethancourt's one of them. Springer, Varsho, Santander, Wagner, Schneider, we both agreed on them. You had Barger and Loperfido as the last two batters. I had Lucas and Rodon. Now, I'm curious if that has changed for you at all in the last 9-10 days since we last did this.
Yeah, I, I was going to ask you just overall if there was a ton of change for you over I don't know, was it a week ago that we did this or a little bit more?
Maybe 10 days ago? Yeah.
If there were big significant changes and if you were surprised by any of them, because I'm looking at mine and, you know, it's mostly the same, mm-hmm. but even the differences or the one difference that I have on my batters, I'm kind of surprised by, which is I had to include Adam Roden here.
Okay, so who'd you take off then? Because I assume you kept on Wagner and Schneider.
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of cheated, show. I'm not going to lie. Okay. The player I took out was Dalton Varsho because I do honestly believe that he is going to
be on the IL
the season on the IL. Right. If the Blue Jays are not even entertaining the possibility of him, and you know, obviously John Schneider was not super categorical about that. He said that they're never going to say no, but it doesn't seem like the Blue Jays want him to be the designated hitter early on. And when you look at Anthony Santander and the fact that he just signed a massive deal, it makes a ton of sense. Even though Varsho has hit pretty much everything that's thrown his way this spring, his value is still very much on defense. So if that is the case, then that does open up a spot on the roster. And I believe that Alan Roden has done more than enough here to show that this is his spot. And again, you don't necessarily need to worry about Roden playing center field, mm-hmm. because if we're not expecting Anthony Santander to play the field early on, then Roden can very well play left. And keeping Lo Perfetto on my roster means that you do have a center fielder. And I believe that just based on the reps that we have seen, the amount of time that Lo Perfetto has seen at center field, he seems to have a bit of an edge over Nathan Lucas. But, you know, Lucas definitely makes the conversation interesting. I just, and maybe if he had absolutely raked this spring, we would be having a different conversation, but he hasn't. And based on what the Blue Jays did last year, the chances that Lo Perfetto has been given, I still think that he has a little bit of an edge. And very curious to hear from you, because this is a pretty fascinating discussion right now.
Yeah, so I left in Wagner and Schneider for sure. And I did what you did. I assume, based on what Schneider has been saying, that Varsho is going to be on the IL. So you're kind of semi-cheating a little bit when it comes to picking another guy. I did swap. So I essentially put Varsho on the IL and I added two players and I took out one of my last two batters. I took Nathan Lucas out. I think I'm with you. You know, I'm a big fan of his, but I do think, I'm not sure he's done enough in the spring. I think a player that's actually quite impressed me that I think could be on this roster, especially if you want someone with a little more power. And I say this actually in direct following of our conversation we had about George Springer, as someone who can play in right field and hit for power, is Addison Barger. And you had Barger on your roster. I think I'm kind of with you. I think I've seen a little bit more from Barger. And I mean, look, he probably will spend some time in the minors at some point this season, especially when Varsho's return makes this a little more complicated. But I took Lucas out, I put Barger in, and then as the replacement for Varsho, I put in Miles Straw.
Oh, right.
Because I think Miles Straw, again, I said this before many times, but yeah, you know, he was hitting like .450 at one point this spring, and obviously that did not continue. But I do believe that if you're just simply talking about the best defensive outfielder not named Varsho, who just plays for this team at all facets of the organization, the guy is it's Miles Straw, really, right?
It is.
And I know what he represents, i.e. represents the not signing of Roki Sasaki, unfortunately. But I do believe that the organization values the defensive metrics that he brings so much. And Barker was talking about this the other day, that, you know, if you're going to have someone unproven, quote unquote, in left field, if Santander is DHing, do you want someone also unproven in center field? And do you want both of those positions defensively to be question marks? I think the answer to that question for me is no. Yeah. And if that's the case, then I think the slam dunk option for sure should be Miles Straw. So mm-hmm. I took Lucas out, went with Straw. I kept Roden in there and Barger as well. You want to do the pitchers real quick?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Miles Straw, and I agree with you. And maybe he has at this point done enough, or maybe Lo Perfetto hasn't done enough for us to swap those, or for me to swap
you,
those positions.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We have time to do more of these, don't we?
It's true. Yeah, we got about a week's worth of games, so maybe things will change. And I mean, look, a week's worth of results could swing things for Lo Perfetto or for Straw, right? For the pitchers, you got Gausman, Berríos, Bassett, Scherzer, and that could also be a semi-cheat with him maybe being on the IL. But you got the five starters, Francis as well. You got Hoffman, Garcia, Chad Green, Weyrod, Sandlin. I think we both agreed on Brendan Little being in there as well. And again, of all the pitchers we just listed, he's the only lefty there. So I think he makes it. We agreed on Ryan Yarbrough. So that essentially leaves one, maybe two spots if you believe Scherzer is going to be on the IL. But where would you go at the end there? I forget who you had as your last pitcher last
time. I did have Zach Pop.
Oh, Zach Pop. That's
as
right.
As my last pick.
Yeah. Who it was. Okay, are you still keeping Pop on there?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you kind of, that was, I think my only real change here was I took off, or I took out Pop and swapped him for Dylan Tate.
Okay.
Who is a guy who comes with a little more consistent major league experience. He has filled different roles in the pen with the Orioles over the years. Blue Jays got a look at him last year when they picked him off of waivers. And so it seems like he has a little bit of the inside track to make this team right now. Richard Lovelady obviously being added to the 40-man. I'm not too convinced just yet that he is going to be on this team come opening day. I think this is more of a depth move for the Blue Jays. And that would be really my sole difference when it comes to, you know, putting out a 26-man roster. That said, I still have, I have Scherzer as a question mark.
Okay,
I think, I don't think he's going to need an IL stint at this point based on what we have been hearing, but obviously that can change in a hurry. And then just sort of added Y-Rod's name to the starters as well as the relievers, as that sixth starter option.
Okay.
How did yours shape up?
I left it largely the same. I think just for now, I left Scherzer on there without putting him on the IL. And I did, I had Mason Fluharty as the last guy. I think I have taken him off and I put Lovelady on there. Just
right on.
And the reason I did this is because Lovelady is out of options, right? So I wonder if the options part of this does play a factor. And I think the options part of this will certainly play a factor for both Zach Pop and Tommy Nance as well, right? Because both of them are also out of options. And I'm sure that the whole options discussion played a role in Lovelady being put on the 40-man. Just generally speaking, I think there's a good chance, and I said this before, but that someone like Adam Macko heads to this, he's called up and then heads to the 60-day, and then that removes him from the 40-man, at least until he comes back. And then they DFA Nance, and then you suddenly have two spots available, right? So if that is the case, then I think, and I mean, one of those spots would end up being used for Yarbrough, obviously. And I think another spot could end up being used for Miles Straw, because I don't believe he's on the 40-man. Alan Roden, I believe, would also need to be added to the 40-man. So there are a lot of potentials here in terms of finagling one of these guys onto the 40-man roster vis-a-vis 60-day IL stints for guys. But you would also have to DFA a couple of people. I wonder, you could also DFA both Pop and Nance to free up spots here. But I put Lovelady on there because I just can't help but think that if they liked him that much to put him on there, and Fluharty does have options, he probably is in the driver's seat, I think, for the last spot. And then, you know what? And this also assumes that Swanson and Burr are going to be on the 10-day IL to start the season. But, you know, what will probably happen is when they come back, unfortunately, Lovelady and someone else probably get DFA'd anyways, right? So that's just how that bottom of the roster churn seems to always go, Jules.
Those were some pretty fascinating choices, and I'm okay with that. I'm pretty okay with seeing Richard Lovelady's name in there based on what he did last year at the latter half of the season with the Rays. He seemed to have figured something out, and if he can carry that forward, of course not a ton of time to really show something different or new here for the Blue Jays. They kind of know what they have at this point, but also a guy who comes with experience and has filled different roles and seems to be in a pretty good spot in his career overall right now, show. So, yeah, good pick.
Before we go, I wanted to read a couple of texts with you, Jules, before we say goodbye at the bottom of the hour. And a couple here, there's no name on this one, so just shoot me your name so I can give you a shout-out. This person texting in to say, and 590-590, name and location, is where you can always reach us, says, I feel like everyone is just way too okay with accepting Vladdy and Tony as 2 and 3. Who is the cleanup hitter? Why bring in a guy to clean up and hit bombs and then put him somewhere where he is underutilized? I want my Sandy salamis. The question is not who leads off, but who hits second, because I guess the idea is maybe you just bunch everyone down a little bit. I it's a good question, first of all. I mean, in today's lineup, it was Dalton Varsho, right? And we have seen Varsho hit cleanup. We have seen George Springer hit cleanup. I'm not sure, I mean, if I had to pick between those two specifically, I think I'd rather Dalton Varsho hit cleanup, but I'm not sure I'd prefer either of them hitting cleanup, if truth be told. I honestly think, to this person's point, I think the best configuration is probably question mark player X batting leadoff, and then you go Bo, Vladdy, Santander, 2-3-4. I think that would solve the problem. And then to this person's point, it would have Santander hitting cleanup like you want, right? Because I think that was certainly my assumption. And then I suppose for the rest of the batting order, Jules, if Santander is hitting four, then you could have some combination, depending on how you like things shaking out, of Kirk, Varsho, Springer hitting 5-6-7, for example, right? But it depends on how you like that throughout the whole season. Maybe Clement hits a little higher. Maybe he's hitting seven, and Springer could hit even lower in the lineup, depending on how things are going. But I think that's how I envision it in my mind, but I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, talk about not adhering to strict rules and staying in flux, right? Yeah, I have to agree with the texter. You kind of know that this is what the Blue Jays are thinking, because this is what we have seen all spring. And so, you know, for the sake of exercises such as the one we just did, it's, you kind of have to assume that that is what is going to happen. But 100%, it seems like, you know, most of the success that the Blue Jays found when they were very good offensively came with that pocket of Bo, Vlad, someone else, be that Teoscar Hernandez at the time at number four. But that was when George Springer was a reliable leadoff hitter. And so now there is going to be that cascading effect in order to, you know, find what works. That said, I don't believe it should be set in stone that Vladdy's batting second and Santander is batting third. That is just what we have seen in the spring, and it gives us a pretty good indication that that is what's going to happen in the regular season as well.
There's another text here from Shane in Brockville. Shane, he's in a couple texts in, actually. And Shane says, show, we are 4 months away, 4 months away from the Jays DFAing George Springer and eating the rest of this contract. The fact that we got Santander to be our cleanup hitter and he is hitting third just confirms we are one or two bats short, period. He needs to bat eighth until July, and then you DFA him and eat the remaining money. And you know, I'll give Shane some credit, because I remember Shane texting in when I did a bunch of the solo Jays talks last year, and he was very consistent on this point of the Jays eating George Springer's money. So I 1,000% give Shane some credit on not changing his mind on this. And I mean, look, to Shane's point, I don't think George Springer has shown a lot since, I mean, like what, September of last year to now. And I mean, it's the spring is what it is, but to make you feel that he should be batting leadoff or batting cleanup or any of these prominent roles, right? I tend to believe he will be on the team either way, at least until the end of the season, just because I think the Jays have been so reluctant to DFA large swaths of money. I mean, if it's like a one-year deal, then sure. And again, I mean, to Shane's point, after this year, it is effectively a one-year deal, which is why I think it could happen in the next offseason. But I suppose if he's hitting well enough, I think they'll probably just keep Springer. But I mean, unless it's like, what happened with, was it Jose Abreu who got DFA'd when he was playing with the Astros?
Yes.
And I mean, he unfortunately, in the bad way, forced the Astros' hand and they DFA'd him. So it's not like it can't happen, right? But I tend to believe the Jays are they're such a conservative organization.
Right.
I tend to believe they probably won't. But what do you think?
And you hear the reports coming out of Florida, and, you know, it's George Springer is feeling well. The Blue Jays still have all the confidence in the world in him. Obviously, that is what is going to be said. No one is going to throw anyone under the bus. But what is the hope here? Is the hope that George Springer is going to be an average run producer the rest of the way and a serviceable right fielder? Then sure. But you also need to know then and figure out how he actually fits into this lineup and into this roster in a way that doesn't jeopardize what it is that you were trying to do. And so I don't believe that he should bat leadoff at all, at least to start the season and until he shows that he still has more to give here. And I definitely don't believe that he should be on the top of that lineup, period. So if this is someone that you can count on to give you some dynamic to the latter portion of your lineup, great. But he still needs to prove that he has more to give than just that at this point, if that makes sense.
That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Show Ali. 8-2, the Blue Jays lose to the Orioles in spring training action. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Julia Kreutz, Ben Shulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Jason Berenger, I'm Show Ali. That does it for us. We are out of here. Jules and I will be back on Sunday night for the final spring edition of Jays Talk. Just one more. And Jules will do our bold predictions on Sunday. And the next time we do this, it'll be Blair and Barker. So get your bold predictions ready for this weekend, please.
Oh, it'll be great. I can't wait. You know, I'm very good at bold predictions.
I love the bold predictions from everyone. I look forward to that. That'll be on Sunday. And like I said, Blair and Barker will get things started for the season opener next Thursday night. Until then, have a great week, everyone. We'll talk to you later.